3. You know, Jesus talked a lot about the need for us to be born again, the need for us to be saved. And there's a reason for that, because he, as God, knows that that's what we need. He knows that that's what we need. He knows that's what you need in your life. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that I struggle with is in our culture. You know, our culture has been raised up in school. They've been raised up in a community, and there's a pulpit that is different from the church's communication, from God's communication as to how we got here, why we're here, what our purpose in life is, and all of those things. And one of the things that I struggle with as a pastor, as people coming in, is, man, how much of God's story do they need to believe in order for them to be saved? You know? And so what I want to tell you today is, don't worry about that. That'll come. As the Spirit of God leads and guides and grows you and teaches you, that'll come. But here's what you do need. You need what we've got, and that is a relationship with Him. Amen. That's where salvation happens. And whatever God needs you to believe about Him and His story, about Jonah and the whale, about all of the stuff in the Bible, all of that, He will teach you along the way. And you know, I try to communicate and present and teach and all of that, but we want you to know that don't let any of that be a threat to you. We're here for one reason. We're here for you to come to know a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe. Do you know your Jesus? Do you know Him? So Jesus said this. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." So He's talking about this need that we have for salvation, a need that we have for God to come alive inside of us, the Spirit of God to live inside of us. He's talking about a relationship. He's not talking about some kind of religion where you've got to light 50 candles and say a certain amount of things in order for you to be saved. He's talking about a relationship. And He says, that which has been born of the flesh is flesh. How many of you are flesh? We all are flesh, all right? We have bodies. We have skin. That's flesh. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So He's saying the Spirit of God coming alive inside of us makes us alive spiritually. And that's what being born again is. And He says, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. And He's talking to a guy here that's not saved. He's talking to a man named Nicodemus. He was a very religious person. He knew a lot about religion, but he came at night to meet with Jesus because he wanted to find out, who are you? And Jesus is saying, and Nicodemus eventually accepted Christ into his life. That's pretty awesome. And Jesus said this, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. It's kind of interesting. What? The wind blows where it wishes? What is he talking about? And you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it is coming from and where it is going. So it is with everyone who has been born of the Spirit. All right, so he says, God coming alive inside of your life is a lot like the wind blowing. You can't see it, you can't hear it, but you see the results of it, right? And so God's presence in our lives, you see the results of it. What are the results of it? Well, there's a lot of results. We've sang about it this morning. Through difficult times, we don't stop, we don't quit, we keep moving on, we keep worshiping Him in all of those things. How many of you have ever been in a really bad storm? Now, they're saying that there might be a really bad storm here tonight. It's okay. I'm not predicting anything here, all right? But think about this when it comes, if it comes. It's weathermen. Really bad storms have a lot of wind and rain, and it drives, right? There's a difference, obviously, between that and a gentle breeze. And what he's saying here is also that God blows into your life as He wishes. And sometimes that doesn't meet our standard of what we'd like Him to do in our lives. Sometimes the wind blows and we don't understand it. Sometimes it's frustrating. You know, when you've planned a great fishing trip and you get out on the lake and you're like, oh no, we can't control the boat. This is a problem. And it's always in the moment where the wind is the worst that you get hung up. And you got to go get that bait because it's worth $5. And it's worth your life to risk for it. I'm not kidding. My dad will make me go get a bait. And I'm just like, let's cut it off, Dad. Come on. The wind is bad. The wind blows as it wishes, Jesus said. How many of you have the wind has blown in your life before? Yeah, sometimes it's a nice, gentle breeze. And sometimes it blows you across the lake and gets you where you need to be, right? But sometimes it's stormy. Sometimes it's difficult. What are some of the winds that have blown into our lives? Come on, tell me some of the difficult things that we've faced, you've faced maybe. What are some winds that blow in our lives? Death. Divorce. Pandemic. Jobs. What else? What's that? Loss. Yeah. Chad? Yeah. Jobs. The wind blows, doesn't it? We face a lot of pain, sickness, disease, struggles, problems. And Jesus said, hey, the wind blows as it wishes. And here's what we have to do. We're in a series right now. And that series is about preparing for the test when we stand before Almighty God. And when we stand before Him, God's going to look over our lives and He's going to bring account to our lives. And don't let that make you afraid. I know it does. Most people that don't believe in God, that's the reason they don't believe in Him, is because they don't want that kind of accountability. But it's there. And if you have Christ into your life, God is not judging. He's not going to be there to judge you for your sin. He's going to be there to judge you for how you loved and lived the rest of your life after He came into your life. And why? For reward. For reward. So don't let it scare you, but at the same time, one of the things that is so important for us to understand is God is going to look at us and say, how did you accommodate for me to live in your life? How did you live your life in such a way that you could accommodate for me living there? And in these storms of life, in these difficult times, God is saying, how are you accommodating for me? How are you preparing for the storm? And how are you understanding that the wind is going to blow and I'm going to be there and it's going to be okay no matter what you go through, no matter who you lose, no matter what happens in your life, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what it looks like when you don't have a job for a year, John Horn, no matter what it looks like, I have a plan. Doesn't he have a plan? Amen. And John's about to start a new job. Isn't that awesome? It's not what he planned. It's not what he planned, but it's better than that. Amen? The wind blew in Frances's life when she was a little girl. To hear the stories that she tells about growing up, not knowing where she'd be and all of those things, and look what it's turned into. How beautiful. The wind blows wherever it wants for His purpose. And the struggles and problems that you face. So let me ask you this. Are you accommodating for God to live inside of you? Does He feel welcome? Does He feel like you care, that you respect Him, that you honor His presence? And let me tell you about my Jesus. He can do all things. He can make the waves calm, and He can make the storm stop, or He can let it rage. One of my favorite stories, Jesus was walking on water, and came out to the boat. And what happened? Instantly, the storm was calmed. And they were actually on the other side of the boat, or on the other side of the lake immediately. The waves calmed. And everything was stopped. I love the story also where Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. And the disciples are bailing water. And they're scared because there was a massive storm. And Jesus is, it's descriptive. He's laying there with a pillow on his under his head at the bottom of the boat, asleep. And they come down and they shake him. Jesus, don't you care if we die? And Jesus got up and he went up to the bow of the ship and he said, peace be still. And then he turns to the disciples and it's almost like he's disappointed. He just looks at them and he says, guys, seriously? Didn't you know that I care? Don't you know that I'm not going to let you die? If you've got God asleep in the bottom of the boat, what's the problem? What was he saying? He was saying, you know what? I was giving you a ride on this boat that later on people would pay to go to Six Flags and ride something like this. And it was free. You could have enjoyed it and just know that I'm in the bottom of the boat. When the wind comes, when the wind blows, you can count on it. Jesus is in the boat. You're not alone. You just got to believe. And you got to trust him. No, he's there. Know it. James David, would you come? So let me ask you this. Jesus, our special guest today, is here. What do you have to say to him? Welcome.
Sit down and have some breakfast.
Dustin ate it all. You want to tell him thank you for something? He's here. For always being here for us. What else? Protection. Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
He's here every moment of every day. Yeah. What else? What do you want to say thank you to him about? For the good times and the bad times. Amen. Amen. What'd you say, Colette? Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on one second, Lisa. I want to hear it. What'd you say? Thank you for your grace. Yeah. Lisa? Yeah. Yeah. We get to be here with him. For his sacrifice. Yeah. Amen. He's here. What do you want to say thank you for? He doesn't hide from us, does he? If you want to find him, you can find him. You got to keep asking, seeking, and knocking, though. What else? Forgiveness. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for being faithful and true.
He's faithful and true. Yeah.
Thank you for the church family.
Church family. Yeah. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Eternal life. Amen. Making us new. Yeah. New life in Christ. All of this is about relationship. Do you hear that? Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. You've touched our lives. Yeah, we've faced the wind and the waves. This has been the hardest year for some of us, and yet here we are, thanking God. Amen. If our worship team would come up, we want to sing that song one more time. What else do you have to say thank you for?
Hearing our prayers.
Yeah. Being the good father, right?
For giving us everything we need.
He does, doesn't he?
Yes.
He gives us everything we need. Yeah.
For speaking to us in a voice that we recognize is his.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the good shepherd. And his people know his voice. Right? Angela? Healing?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand and sing this at the top of our lungs. Let's tell Jesus how much he means to us. Listen, I know the winds have blown in your life. I know it's been difficult throughout your life. But he's been there with you all the time. And sometimes it seems like he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. But he's there. And if God is asleep in the bottom of the boat, then you don't have anything to worry about. And sometimes he's up there on the bow and he's with you, right? But sometimes it just seems like you're alone. And listen, you're not. You're not. He knows, he sees, he cares, and he loves you. And listen, he can do all things. He can get you where he wants you to be. And sometimes that's why the wind blows the way it does. He can heal. He can restore. He loves you. He cares about you more than you could ever imagine. So let's talk to him today. He's here. Our guest of honor, let's worship him together one more time as we do this song. Amen.